This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast with the latest Indiana farm news plus markets and weather. I'm Ian DeEubank on the 26th of August, 2025. The Hat Podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Online, they're at ffbt.com. CJ Miller and Greg Allen have news today, including an update on prospects for what is being called a skinny farm bill, and meet the new head of Agrinovis Indiana. The Indiana Farm Forecast with Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, going to be crisp but continued beautiful and dry, and the grain markets worked above even Monday, while soybeans yesterday followed soy meal and oil lower. John Zanker market analysis coming up on the Hat Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Pushing lawmakers to pass a skinny farm bill, and a Fort Wayne native is now leading Agrinovis Indiana. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. $65 billion. That's how much new spending for agriculture was included in the One Big Beautiful Bill. It increased reference prices, expanded crop insurance coverage options, boosted funding for ag trade and research, and made many tax cuts important to farmers permanent. However, work still needs to be done on passing the rest of the farm bill, what many are now calling a skinny farm bill. Greg Allen has more.
I think that the things that are left in the farm bill are generally non-controversial.
That was Dwayne Simpson, president and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives.
These are things that are supported by both political parties. Both parties support farm credit. Both parties support conservation. Both parties support young farmer grant programs. Both parties support Buy America programs. So it's unfortunate that the coalition wasn't able to stay together to pass a farm bill like we've done in the past years for the full bill. But I do think that this is an opportunity to bring people back together so that we can have future farm bills down the road.
Critics say the skinny bill is a missed opportunity to address climate change and help small farmers struggling with rising costs. Supporters, however, argue it's a necessary step to avoid disruption and buy more time for negotiation.
Right now, what we're hearing is from, in the House, they're going to start probably a little sooner in the House, hoping to get it done in September. In the Senate, Senator Bozeman has said that he hopes to have it finished by the end of the year.
If passed, the skinny bill would extend key programs through 2025, giving Congress another shot at a comprehensive update. I'm Greg Allen, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Well, she's only been on the job for more than a week, but Christy Wright is already settling in as the new president and CEO of Agrinovis Indiana. Christy tells Hoosier Ag Today that she's originally from Allen County and graduated from Homestead High School.
I grew up in southwest area of Fort Wayne and grew up not on a farm, actually. I grew up in kind of the southwest suburb of Fort Wayne. I went to college at IU and studied public affairs and nonprofit management, and then got my career started.
She says she was drawn to the ag industry after serving on several mission trips with her father.
I had a few experiences with my dad, who is a physician. We volunteered together on some medical mission trips, and the trips were fantastic growing experiences. But we volunteered in food insecure communities, and that really changed my worldview. And so when I came home from those experiences, I felt really kind of called to agriculture and to the purpose that agriculture serves, which is ultimately to feed and nourish people across the world.
She started working in communications and public policy for Dow AgriSciences, which later became Corteva. She accepted the position with Agrinovis Indiana this summer after having spent 15 years with Corteva.
I see so much opportunity. I am really eager to build on the momentum that Agrinovis has. Already they've done so many positive things for Indiana and for the ag bioscience sector. And I think with everything that's happening in the world right now, a lot of disruption across agriculture, food, health, there's a real opportunity for innovation. And I think Agrinovis can be a real catalyst for kind of the next chapter in Indiana ag bioscience in that regard.
Check out a video of my full conversation with Christy Wright. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. Also at the Hoosier Ag Today Facebook page and the Hoosier Ag Today channel on YouTube. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Right now looking at a very nice weekly weather pattern here. Temperatures are pleasant. Yeah, it's even a little bit crisp here this morning. Chilly across the state. We're going to do the same thing tomorrow morning. May even see a few record lows tomorrow morning. Remember, it is still August, but we've got plenty of regular September and even summer weather trying to come back. It's just not happening here in the short term. Today and tomorrow looking very, very pleasant overall. Low humidity, cool temperatures. We see temperatures warm up on Thursday as flow goes back southwest, but that's ahead of our next frontal boundary. That front moves through Michigan on Thursday with good coverage of rain there. Kind of falls apart as it gets farther south into Indiana and Ohio, but I still think from I-70 northward, we have to allow for hit and miss as scattered showers, maybe 60% coverage maximum, a few hundredths and half an inch. That's all we're looking at there later Thursday afternoon and Thursday evening. We're dry for Friday, and that frontal boundary ushers in another round of very cool air for Friday and the Labor Day holiday weekend. Quite pleasant, low humidity. We do see fair weather clouds, but no major weather problems behind that. As we move into the rest of next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, as temperatures warm up, we see a little bit of instability trying to pop up to our west. I don't look for any significant rain threats in Indiana until probably Thursday, where we can see some instability breeding a few scattered showers and thunderstorms on the 4th. And then we get to a frontal boundary passage for overnight Thursday night into Friday the 5th. That one runs out of gas, runs out of a good moisture source by the time it gets here, but it can trigger showers and thunderstorms, maybe 30 to 40% coverage. But also what it does is it draws down another batch of cooler air. I don't think we're looking at cold, but cooler air coming in, setting up the stage for, I think, a very active Saturday, Sunday, especially Sunday the 7th, big time moisture coming up from the west and southwest. And that really then it sets the stage for a major change for the week of the 8th. Once again, I'm looking at a very dry setup for a large part of that week after those rains from the weekend get through. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Mixed markets with quiet grains and a dime sell-off in beans. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Farm Market Review. Brought to you by Farm Progress Show. What will your operation look like tomorrow? Find the future of farming today at Farm Progress Show, where progress meets possibility. FarmProgressShow.com. It runs Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Settlements on the way from Monday trade. First, some thoughts from analyst John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities. Grains work mostly higher to open up the new week, John. Soybeans, though, a different story coming off of those crop tour results on Friday. Lower in beans, some profit taking maybe, or do we simply point to the lower meal and oil markets?
Well, the oil news, the biodiesel news on Friday was a bit of a mixed bag, probably more supportive than not, and the market actually closed higher. Weather, not a lot of rain in the forecast, and I think that's a little bit of a negative for certainly some areas that have missed out on rain lately. That's being offset in the trade's mind, in part with these cooler temperatures. I mean, jiminy Christmas across the Corn Belt. We're going to have more days with highs in the next 2 weeks, under 80 than over 80. So versus last year, where we really put a hurt on this crop the last 2 weeks of August and really all through September. So pro farmers' numbers were lower than the USDA. That provided some support as well. But we've had a nice bounce off the lows. And at this time of the year, that's not something that's generally going to hold very well.
Well, it really didn't even hold during the course of Monday trade. We saw nickel gains early in the session and pretty close to even by the close.
Well, the bottom line on corn is we may end up, and we probably will end up, under that 188.8 that the USDA put in. That was my immediate thought. I think they're high in Illinois. I think they're a little high in Indiana. I think they're quite a bit high in Ohio, probably. But they could be low in the Dakotas and Nebraska and Kansas. So, you know, there's some offsets there. But regardless of all that, we're going to be hit with the biggest wall of corn on October 1st that we've ever seen. So, and the bulk of that is unpriced. So the trade's well aware of that. And whether the crop's 16.3 or 16.7, it's still the biggest crop by far. And there's going to be some ramifications with that. So, you know, we're looking at this opportunity to get some sales on the books, and we'll step back and see how it all turns out.
Talk a little bit about what we're going to do with all of that product, and we'll start with the export inspections report. In the range of expectations for both corn and beans, quite a large number for wheat.
Yeah, Karen Braun with Zahner came up with this today, that was the largest weekly inspections number since, I believe, September of 2013. So that's impressive. But SEP futures are up 1.25 today, DSEP 2. And, you know, for the last 6 months, I tried to get friendly, a little friendly at least on corn due to the exceptional exports, and we didn't go very far. In fact, we just went lower, and here we are seeing that kind of an export number on wheat, and we're not going very far in wheat as well. So kind of sad, but that's just where we're stuck at this time of the year.
John Zahner, Risk Management Commodities. That number is 866-837-9027. On the Hat Monday Market Review, up a penny on September corn. It ended at 389.25. Dece 412.25, up 3/4. March up a penny, 429.75. So all of those markets off the highs. And 11 cents lower September beans, 1025.5. Novi 1047.75, losing a dime and 3/4. September wheat, 2 cents higher, 506.75. October live cattle, 236.82, down a dollar and a nickel. October lean hogs, 91.40, up 20 cents. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.